We are looking at Surah Al-Fath, which is in the 26th juz of the Noble Quran. Throughout last week, we discussed at length the incidents which led to the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, the Bay'atul Ridwan, where the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had marched on Mecca with the intention of performing Umrah. He was refused and a treaty was enacted between the Muslims and the Kuffar. This was a very difficult time for the believers because they were told to come back the next year and they were not allowed into Mecca. That was one of the big problems at this time. Then, as they returned, there was another development that took place. And this was in the 7th year of Hijrah. As they returned from Hudaybiyah, the Muslims then intended to march on Khaybar. And Nabi Salaam only took those who were sincere believers who were with him at Hudaybiyah and who had participated in the pledge of Ridwan. And Allah promised His Messenger the conquest of Khaybar with great spoils of wars. And those Bedouin tribes who had contrived to remain behind when Nabi Salaam went for Umrah now requested to be allowed to join the Muslim army, either because they guessed that Khaybar would be conquered and they would receive a share of the booty, or they perceived that the divine blessings bestowed on the Muslims as a result of this expedition to Hudaybiyah, and they were now remorseful on their own wrongdoings. They intended to join this new expedition. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, سَيَقُولُ لَكَ الْمُخَلَّفُونَ إِذَا انْتَلَقْتُمْ إِلَى مَغَانِمَ لِتَأْخُذُوهَا. When you set forth to take the spoils, those who remain behind will now say, ذَرُونَا نَتَّبِئْكُمْ. Let us come with you. We want to join you. You know, people are skeptical of a particular cause when it starts off and when it starts flourishing. Everyone wants to get their share in it. You start off a small initiative, nobody's interested, and then everyone sees, this is now becoming very powerful, it has a lot of play, it has a lot of impact on the society and all of that, and then suddenly everyone wants to have a share in it. And this is exactly what happened at that time, that when in the initial stages, they weren't interested, but later on, when they seen the divine blessings, Allah revealed a verse saying, قُلْ لَن تَتَّبِعُونَا كَذَٰلِكُمْ. You will never come with us just like that. كَذَٰلِكُمْ قَالَ اللَّهُ مِنْ قَبْلَ. And so Allah had said beforehand, Allah had already predicted before they even came that these people are going to come to you and they're going to say this and they want to join you. فَسَيَقُولُونَ بَلْ تَحْسُدُونَنَا. And they will say, you are jealous of our gain. That's why you don't want to let us join. You're jealous of us. That's something that you hear very often, that people, then, you know, when they don't agree, you know, you're jealous. That's why you don't want. That is not the case. بَلْكَانُوا لَا يَفْقَهُونَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. They do not understand except little. In other words, they have very little understanding. These foolish people do not know the state of absence and contentment of the Muslims. And other Muslims desirous of wealth, or they should be jealous of you. Or the Prophet ﷺ fabricate a lie against Allah merely out of jealousy. Na'udhu billahi min zalik. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells them that قُلْ لِلْمُخَلَّفُونَ مِنَ الْأَعْرَابِ. Say to those Bedouins who remain behind. And it's not all done, that you still have opportunity in the future. سَتُدْعَوْنَ إِلَىٰ قَوْمٍ أُولِي بَأْسٍ شَدِيدٍ. That you will be called to face a people of mighty strength. And who are these? It may refer to the Banu Hanifa, who were a people of Musaylama, the false claimant to Prophet, or it may be the Hawazin, the Saqif, against whom the Muslims fought after the Battle of Hunayn, or it may be the apostates against whom Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu waged jihad, or there may have been the Persians, Romans, Kurds against whom wars were fought during the era of the Khulafa'i Rashidun. Many of these people embraced Islam without any battles or without much booty that came in hands. So, when you are called upon, تُقَاتِلُونَهُمْ أَوْ يُسْلِمُونَ. that you either you fight them or you become Muslim. فَإِنْ تُطِيُوا يُؤْتِكُمْ اللَّهُ جَنَّ حَسَنًا. If you obey, Allah shall give you a good reward. وَإِنْ تَتَوَلَّوْ كَمَا تَوَلَّيْتُمْ مِنْ قَبْلُ يُعَذِّبْكُمْ عَذَابًا أَلِيمًا. But if you turn away, as you turned away in previous times, Allah shall inflict a very painful punishment upon you. If you turn away in the future, like you turn away in the past, at the time of Hudaybiyah, Allah will inflict a severe punishment and a painful punishment upon you. And this is because of your own actions. So this is the general message. However, there are people that would be excused under all circumstances. There are certain individuals that are overlooked. They are pardoned. لَيْسَ عَلَى الْأَعْمَى حَرَجُ وَلَى الْأَعْرَجِ حَرَجُ وَلَى الْمَرِيضِ حَرَجُ. There's no restriction on the blind, no restriction on the lame, no restriction on the sick. وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ يُدْخِلُ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِ الْأَنْهَارِ. And whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger, He will admit him into gardens beneath which rivers flow. وَمَنْ يَتَوَلَّ يُعَذِبُ عَذَابًا أَلِيمًا. And whoever turns back upon him, will he inflict a painful punishment. In other words, jihad is not incumbent upon certain people. However, jihad was incumbent on other groups, and those who did not comply in that regard, then for them there was severe warnings. The Muslims nevertheless were willing to comply at all instances, and therefore Allah announces, لَقَدْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ يُبَايَعُونَكَ تَحْتَ الشَّجَرَةِ. Allah was certainly pleased with the believers when they began pledging their allegiance to you under the tree. And this refers to the acacia tree at the place of Hudaybiyah. The probable reason for naming this pledge as Baytul Ridwan, the pledge of pleasure, is that Allah used the word in the verse of the Quran, لَقَدْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ. Allah is certainly pleased. And referring to this incident that we've spoken about last week is known as Bay'atul Ridwan. And when speaking about the virtue of this, it is stated about Bay'atul Ridwan, whoever taken this pledge, in Sahih al-Bukhari Muslim, on the authority of Sayyidina Jabir bin Abdullah radiallahu anhu, he stated that on the day of Hudaybiyah, the Sahaba were 1400, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said to them, أنتم خير أهل الأرض. You are the best of people living on the surface of this earth. It's also reported that on the authority of Umm Bishr radiallahu anhu, that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, لا يدخل النار أحد منهم بايع تحت الشجرة. None of those who swore allegiance under the tree will enter into the fire. So the participants of this allegiance were given special glad tidings, like was the case with those who had participated in the battle of Badr. The Quran and the Hadith give glad tidings of Allah's pleasure and paradise to the participants of Badr. And likewise, there's been glad tidings and Allah's pleasure for the participation, the participants of Bay'atul Ridwan. And these tidings bear testament to the fact that these sincere participants need or meet their end with a good faith, and that their deeds had been accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And now it is reported, mentioned in the verses, that it is the acacia tree, or some say it is the mimosa arabica tree, or the gum acacia tree. It is reported that after Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, some people used to take a walk there and perform salah, and said that Umar radiallahu anhu came to know about this, and fear that the future generation, lacking knowledge, may start worshipping this very tree, as it happened in the previous generations. He therefore had called that the tree be felled. However, it is reported in Sahih al-Bukhari and Sahih al-Muslim, on the authority of Sayyidina Tariq ibn Abdurrahman, radiallahu anhu, reports that I once went for Hajj. I passed by some people who had gathered in a place and were performing salah. Asked them, which mosque is this? And they replied, this is the tree under which Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam took Bay'atul Ridwan. And Sayyidina Tariq said that after that, I went up to Sayyidina Sa'id ibn Musayyib, radiallahu anhu, narrated this incident to him, and he said, My father was one of those who participated in Bay'atul Ridwan, and he also said that when he went to Makkah, the following year he looked for the tree and he couldn't find it. And then Sayyidina Sayyid ibn Husayn added that the Sahaba who participated in the Bay'atul Ridwan at the hands of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam themselves are now unaware of the location of the tree. So this shows that later people must have conjectured something in this regard. This difference of opinion into whether the location of it was entirely known or not. We spoke about the fact that the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, after the Bay'atul Ridwan, had then conquered Khaybar. Now Khaybar is the name of a province which comprises of many settlements, fortresses and gardens. And this was a place that was well protected. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about when going to Khaybar. He says that Allah was pleased when they pledged their allegiance under the tree, and Allah knew what was in your hearts, and He sent down peace and tranquility. وَأَثَابَهُمْ فَتْحًا قَرِيبًا. And Allah had granted the Muslims a near victory. The reward for them, for their patience, was that Allah had granted them a near victory, which occurred in Khaybar after returning from Hudaybiyah. Nabi Salim stayed in Medina after returning from Hudaybiyah only for 10 days, and according to some narrations, 20 days. He then marched to Khaybar. Ibn Ishaq narrates that he returned to Medina in the month of Dhul Hijjah and set out for Khaybar, the month of Muharram. Khaybar was conquered in the month of Safar, in the 7th year of Hijrah, and this has been reported. Now, this shows us the conquest of Khaybar took place days after the march of Hudaybiyah, and what came from that, وَمَغَانِمَ كَثِيرَةً يَأْخُذُونَهَا وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَزِيزٌ حَكِيمًا. From Khaybar, many spoils which they will take, and Allah is mighty wise. That many spoils that they would receive, that Allah had promised a near victory. In other words, through His might and His wisdom, the Muslims were able to make up for the loss at Hudaybiyah. And the same thing happened at the conquest of Makkah and Al-Hunayn. Allah gave them victory and much spoils of war. Allah had promised, وَعَدَكُمُ اللَّهُ مَغَانِمَ كَثِيرَةً تَأْخُذُونَهَا فَعَجَّلَ لَكُمْ هَذِهِ وَكَفَّ أَيْدِيَ النَّاسِ عَنْكُمْ وَلِتَكُونَ آيَةً لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَيَهْدِيَكُمْ صِرَاطًا مُسْتَقِيمًا. Allah had promised many spoils that you would receive, so He gave you those to sooner. That Allah had promised many spoils, much spoils of war, and this is to the sizable amount that fell into the hands of the Muslims in the conquest which followed the victory at Khaybar. The rest of Arabia and the neighboring countries, these all was part of the prophecies of the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the great victories that was achieved and the spoils of war that was attained. And in the numerous conquests, the conquest of Khaybar was the first, and the spoils was reserved by Allah exclusively for the participants of Hudaybiyah. But the spoils that were achieved in the next conquest and all was common to all. And this shows the injunctions of reserving the right of participation, that not everyone was allowed to participate. There were other bounties that Allah had also granted to the people of Khaybar, of the who participate in Khaybar. We will continue elaborating on that inshallah tomorrow. We go for a nasheed. Followed by that, we have the market report.